Hello, everyone. Welcome back to Toy List of Titles. My name is Justin Stevens. I'm back with you for week three waiver wire. So just to give you a quick rundown, for those of you that don't already know, the weekly waiver wires will be distributed out to our Patreon supporters first and foremost. And as soon as we get a few more, it will only go out to our Patreon supporters. In the meantime, we will be dropping this episode on Tuesday, a little afternoon, on YouTube and maybe even Facebook. I'm not sure, but at least on YouTube. But for you Patreons, you're getting this immediately following the Monday Night Football game. Like, it literally just ended, and now I'm recording it, and I'm about to send it to you guys here in just a little while. So that's just something to consider when you're considering supporting us at, right down there at the bottom, patreon.com/toylistoftitles. You can check us out on toylistoftitles.com, where you can find all of our videos, articles, and fantasy football and NFL content. Our normal, typical weekly show and so many of the other shows that you hear from all the other guys on the team, you can be found at Apple Podcasts, YouTube, Facebook, Podbean, and When a Family Breaks, and Spotify. Across the bottom, you'll see the names of all the guys that have worked hard for this particular show on the Waiver Wire show, because we all put together a list of the guys that we are going to be targeting in our several different redrafts that we have between us. And we give it all out to you guys, the Patreons supporters. Go ahead and hit that like and subscribe down at the bottom. Hit that bell, the Apple 5-star review, all that good stuff, just to help continue to show your support that we so desperately appreciate. And, of course, our Twitter handle, at Toy List of Titles. All right, so before I jump into this week's overall episode, I do want to give a quick rundown on last week's finish, kind of how we did last week as a team. So as a team, these are the guys that we came up with that kind of hit for you if you took our advice and picked them up and started them in the right locations, or maybe even just picked them up to stash on your bench and you're going to hold them for later on in the season. You got Daniel Jones, who's still only owned in 10.7% of redraft leagues. Still totally kind of makes sense, but he is starting to look much better. And we're going to get to him a little bit more in detail with this week's waiver wire episode in just a moment. But for this week, he was a top five quarterback in fantasy football. And Joe sent you that idea to pick him up last week. Tim Patrick, he's still only owned in 12.6% of leagues. Even with Jerry Jeudy out, he's still only owned in 12.6% of leagues. He had 12.7 PPR points. He was 3 for 37 and a touchdown. And I'm the one that jotted that one down for you. James White was brought to you by Nate Whalen. And James White is still only owned in 55.3% of leagues, 18.5 PPR. I have a feeling after this week, you guys are going to pick him up off of the waivers, and that percentage is going to go way up. You're probably not going to be able to pick him up off of waiver wire or even for free anymore after this week in most leagues. Christian Kirk is still only owned in 25% of leagues. He was 3 for 65, 9.5 PPR, and Alex put his name last week down on the list. Sterling Shepard is still only owned in 54.6% of leagues, so he's still available out there. He was 9 for 94 on 10 targets, and that makes 19 targets in 2 weeks. Andrew wrote that name down for you. Rondell Moore was brought to you by Ben. And it says right here that he's still only owned in 19.3% of leagues. He had 7 receptions for 114 yards and a touchdown. Guys, we've had a couple of guys on our show over this past week that have talked about Rondell Moore and how he's potentially going to be breaking out soon. Ben wasn't the only one. So you might want to listen to all the shows. Ben is one of the guys. Him and Matt work hard on our Down Under Dynasty show. They're mainly Dynasty-centric guys over there, so they like to look at those young guys a lot, those rookies coming up. So a lot of times we don't consider those young guys in redraft. Us typical redraft players like myself may not necessarily consider rookie wide receivers, but they're watching them all through college, and they know who's special. So pay attention to that, will you? All right, Taylor Heinicke. Taylor Heinicke is still only owned in 1.9% of redraft leagues. He had a QB1 week this week, and Matt's the one that jotted him down. So if you have him, you might want to consider holding him because he absolutely loved Terry McLaurin. He went to him early and often, and they had a nice little rapport going. So that could be a pretty sweet connection for you in a two-quarterback league or when you're having bye week or injury issues. And there were a lot of quarterbacks going down this week. Definitely something to consider. And we'll talk about those quarterback injuries and many other injuries on tomorrow night's episode, on our typical normal weekly episode with myself and John and Nate. So make sure to tune back in tomorrow night at around 8:30 p.m. That's on Tuesday nights. Let's see. Quintez Cephus. Quintez Cephus is only owned in 0.7% of redraft leagues. The guy is free everywhere. And he might even still be free because Monday night games, sometimes people don't pay a lot of attention. Then you got a lot of other stuff going on. You went back to work. So maybe he clears waivers and you can still get him for free. But don't chance it. The dude was 4-for-63 with a touchdown tonight against the Packers. They're going to be down a lot because Jared Goff is going to find a way to Goff up every game. And they're going to be playing from behind and they'll have to throw the ball. All right. So in for this week, Coach Sheps gave us a big one here. It's the only one on here, but it's big in his mind. He put down Hunter Renfrow. Hunter Renfrow is owned in 6.5% of leagues, so a very low ownership in standard or not standard, but in your typical redraft leagues. Through two games, he's had 11 total receptions on 16 total targets. So if you play in 12 to 14 team PPR leagues, I'm starting to feel comfortable with Renfrow as your weekly play, or your weekly flex play. That's what Coach Shep says. Myself and Rich both put down KJ Osborne. KJ Osborne is a guy that I probably should have mentioned last week, and I totally dropped the ball on that. I did not get a chance to go back and really watch that Vikings game until after I did the waiver wire episode. Had I done that, and I only did because Steve, one of our Patreons, mentioned it to me that I need to go back and pay attention to him, and he's right. So Steve, kudos to you. And then he did it again. He had another incredible week this week, but he's still only owned in 1.1% of leagues. So he's out there. He's going to be heavily picked up this week, though. I think his name's going to finally get around. As a Justin Jefferson fanboy myself, an owner of Justin Jefferson in many multiple leagues, I can assure you that not only is Osborne's targets sustainable, they are absolutely legit. He isn't a fluke or just a product of a great offense that is clicking right now. This guy is making plays, and he will continue to be a key cog in that offense. Myself, Rich, and Joe for this week all put down this next guy. So this next guy is a popular pickup. You probably already know he's a popular pickup, especially if you watch the Falcons game. But Cordarrell Patterson, after several years of being a journeyman in the league, he's finally making some noise, not as a wide receiver. No. The last few years, he's kind of been converting into a running back and not a very good one. And now all of a sudden, the guy is starting to make crazy fantasy points. He's only owned in 8% of leagues, but right now he's the running back 8 overall after 2 weeks. And that's before tonight's game. So obviously I'm sure if Aaron Jones was behind him, he's definitely ahead of him now. But still, bare minimum, top 10 running back right now in fantasy football for Cordarrell Patterson. So it's a running back by committee, but obviously he's scoring more points than Mike Davis. And they are not afraid to go to him very often. Kirk Cousins is a guy that I'm throwing out there this week. Kirk Cousins is only owned in 24.5% of leagues. He's the quarterback 5 overall after 2 weeks. Of course, again, before the Monday night football game, I don't have those numbers, but he's definitely still going to be ahead of Goff. Rodgers very well could have maybe taken over ahead of him, but I'm not positive on that either because Kirk Cousins has been tearing it up. So even with that incredible game from Rodgers, it's probably still close. Like I mentioned before when I was talking about KJ Osborne and Justin Jefferson, this team is legit. Their offense is legit this year. Their defense isn't bad at all. They're going to have decent field position most nights. So go out, get your Kirk Cousins, feel happy with starting him on a regular basis. You no longer have to stream quarterbacks. He's matchup proof. He's proven it over the last couple of seasons, and he's proving it again this season. So congratulations on picking up your quarterback for the rest of the season that you didn't even have to draft. Another reason why we don't take quarterbacks in a redraft until very, very late. Tony Pollard, 38.6% owned. He's a top 10 running back before Monday night. After 2 weeks, that is overall top 10, and that's about 8 spots ahead of Zeke, again, before the Monday night game. That depends on your scoring format, but as of right now, he's roughly around 8 spots ahead of Zeke right now. So make up all the different excuses that you want to make up, that they're trying to save Zeke for later on in the season. They're trying to save him because they have that extra game. It's because of the defenses that they've played against or garbage time points here and there. No, Pollard is a part of this offense. He's going to be utilized early every single game, late every single game. They're not afraid to run the ball with him in the red zone even. They're not afraid to throw it to him out of the slot. This man is all over the field. He's a talented running back in his own right. He has a totally different style than Zeke as well. So they can both eat. They can both still be good for fantasy football. So go pick up your Tony Pollards. Another one I have down here for myself is J.D. McKissic. J.D. McKissic is kind of a cheat here, in my opinion, because he is 42% owned. Our threshold is 60% or 70%. I forget which. But it's 42% owned right now. But he had an incredible game. At the beginning of the season, they were talking like they were going to go Gibson, Gibson, Gibson. Everything was going to run through Gibson. That whole offense was going to run through Gibson. And then and they did in week one for the most part. But then Fitzpatrick goes down. And they bring in the backup. They bring in Heinicke, and Heinicke wants to throw the ball to his dump off guys. And Gibson just cannot do it quite like J.D. McKissic. And they're running McKissic out of the slot a lot, so they are on the field at the same time a lot. But McKissic just finds ways to get the ball. He's a pretty talented running back. So go out and pick up your free McKissics and take advantage of those points. Another running back I threw on here is Trenton Cannon. I threw this one on here for those extremely deep leagues, okay? I don't think Trenton Cannon's going to do crap, but I know there's 32 team leagues out there that need a running back. I know that there's 16 team, two copy leagues out there that need a running back, okay? There's some redraft leagues where you had several injuries. Maybe you're desperate and you don't have fab money left because you went and spent it all on Elijah Mitchell, and now there's a chance Elijah Mitchell's going to be out. So especially if you own Elijah Mitchell, you want to go get Trenton Cannon because he's only owned in 0.3% of leagues. But if Elijah Mitchell is now unable to go this week, that leaves only the reject that was cut by a very needy Ravens running back team left as the only healthy running back for the 49ers. So he may be worth a prayer and maybe in a really deep league, but especially if you own Mitchell and you're relying on Mitchell for this week, you might want to go pick him up just so you have him as insurance. Again, that's about the only way that I'm picking him up, though. That's just a very deep, deep help for you. I also put out a tight end this week. I'm going to go with Jared Cook. Jared Cook is owned in 51.7% of leagues. After this performance this week, he'll probably get picked up in a lot more, but you have your chance to get him now. He faces the Chiefs next week, and they're going to need to throw. Baltimore and Cleveland both had a lot of success from their tight ends against the Chiefs. Obviously, Baltimore has Andrews. Cleveland did it with Njoku primarily and a couple other guys in support. So tight ends can perform against this Chiefs defense. And again, they're going to have to throw the ball a lot. They're going to have to run a fast-paced offense. You've got to outscore Pat Mahomes. So why not have a piece of that offense if you can get it off the waivers? I think Cooper Kupp and Robert Woods, the whole gang, they're just proving that you want to have a piece of that offense. I threw down a couple of defenses here for you. The Cardinals defense is only owned in 30.3% of leagues. I'm not ready to give up on the Cardinals after that Vikings game because, like I said before, I'm sold on the Vikings offense. I think it's legit. Plus, the Cardinals are facing the Jaguars this week. And the Jaguars have Trevor Lawrence, and he has thrown five interceptions in the first two games of his young NFL career. So there's a really good chance that rookie is going to cough the ball up a couple more times, especially with the way that Cardinals defense gets after the ball. So I definitely want to pick up and start the Cardinals if you're streaming, and maybe even pick them up and start them if you're a guy like me that drafted the Washington football team in a lot of spaces, because they just are not performing. But here's another defense I did pick up in a lot of leagues for free, even in the ones that I picked up the Washington football team, because I like their matchup better in week one, and I've kept them ever since. And that's the Panthers. The Panthers defense. I didn't mark down what their ownage percentage is, but it's in the teens, guys. Nobody owns the Panthers, but they're one of the top defenses, if not the top defense in your league, depending on scoring format, after facing the Jets and the Saints. The Saints looked really good on offense in week one. They didn't look so good in week two against the Panthers. Now the Panthers get to face the Texans with a rookie quarterback, Davis Mills, in his first ever start, with Tyrod Taylor likely out for a while. Definitely a defense worth looking into. And if you pick them up, there's a decent chance they might be your starting defense for the rest of the season. There's a chance they could be matchup proof, guys. I mean, obviously with the exceptions of your Chiefs and your Rams and teams like that. But for the most part, matchup proof, because I've been saying it all offseason, the Panthers are a much better defense than people are giving them credit for. Of course, you know me. I'm not going to go through a waiver wire episode without throwing down some kickers, at least one kicker. This time I actually laid down two. We have Daniel Carlson. Daniel Carlson is the number one kicker in football right now in most scoring formats. He's owned in 17.7% of leagues, and the Raiders face the Dolphins this week without Tua. So that should provide the Raiders with decent field position. And a part of the reason why the Raiders are getting a lot out of their kicking position, is they are able to move the ball. So they get in scoring position. And even if it's just extra points, sometimes they're getting a lot of points. So as much as I hate to talk good about the Raiders, because you know, Rich is watching, but I got to hand it to them. They're performing. The other kicker I have on the list is Nick Folk, 3% owned in fantasy football. I'm sold that the Patriots offense is actually pretty good at moving the football, but I'm not sold that they're quite good enough yet to really punch it into the end zone on a regular basis. I can see a lot of field goal attempts for Folk this season. He's already had a lot of attempts up to this point. All right, Nate. Nate provided us with Zach Pascal and Michael Carter. So first thing he wrote down here was Zach Pascal, 14% owned. 5 catches for 38 yards and a touchdown in week two. He also had a couple of touchdowns in week one, along with 43 yards on 4 catches. He's caught 9 of his 11 targets this season with those 3 touchdowns. I'd say Wentz trusts him and looks his way. Swoop this dude up, is what Nate said. Now, unfortunately, he might have put this down before he found out today that Wentz has 2 sprained ankles. We don't know if Wentz is going to play next week or not. If he doesn't play next week, then it still might be worth the chance to pick up Pascal. Maybe less people are targeting him. Maybe you can get him for next to nothing with the Wentz injuries, and then you save him for when Wentz comes back. But unfortunately, we saw that if Wentz isn't in there, we don't really have a quarterback for the Indianapolis Colts. So you're going to have to temper all expectations from anybody except for Jonathan Taylor and maybe Nyheim Hines in that offense if Wentz isn't playing. Michael Carter. Michael Carter is currently owned in 54% of leagues. He's down from 67%. So he was owned in 67% of leagues last week. Now he's down 54% because he didn't have a great week one. Now all of a sudden he has a pretty solid week two. Not a lot of people probably drafted Mikey thinking he had an easy path to the RB1 for the Jets. He says now a lot of people. Okay. I think he's trying to write this up like he's going to read it, so he knew what he was talking about. Okay, so let me try this. Now, a lot of people probably drafted Mikey thinking he had an easy path to the RB1 for the Jets. Well, he isn't there yet, and I'm not sure when that will be. But Bob Salea Trust, that's Robert Salea, for those of you that don't make up crazy names for people all the time, trust him enough to give him 11 carries against the Pats. He had a solid day for a rookie with 11 carries for 59 yards and two catches for 29 yards. Zach Wilson will eventually get tired of getting his block knocked off. Okay, he'll eventually get tired of getting his block knocked off by defensive linemen. We hope, and or at least we hope, and he'll dump off the ball to Carter to get him to get leveled. All right, Nate, do me a favor. Next time, don't write a novel. Okay, or maybe break some tackles and get a second level. Okay, so he likes Michael Carter. Okay, guys, so we're gonna write like two or three sentences max. Okay, I'm a math teacher. I'm not an English teacher here. Help me out. All right, and of course I'm gonna say that before I get to Joe's. You know Joe. You all know Joe. Joe's got something to say. All right. Let's go to Alex. Alex says Sterling Shepard, 54.6%. He's Daniel Jones' zone beater and should continue to be a fantasy asset as the Giants' wide receiver two. Honorable mention, I almost threw out, what's his name? This is horrible. I should know this. I drafted him in some leagues. Now I'm not. I should have written it down because I didn't think I was going to mention it. But if we're talking Sterling Shepard still, because of last week, he was on the list last week and he actually did really well. Darius Slayton, obviously, yeah. So I almost mentioned Darius Slayton because he was one touchdown catch away, like just a few inches away. The ball was just outside his reach. And had he pulled that thing in, he would actually be a wide receiver too in fantasy football right now as well. So Danny Dimes is distributing the ball around really well and getting everybody involved. So, but anyhow, he says Sterling Shepard. Alex says Sterling Shepard. Alex also wants to get in on this Rondale Moore train that was started last week by a couple of the guys. 19.2% owned. So he wants me to talk about Rondale Moore again. He has shown some impressive skills on the field and is becoming a favorite target of Murray's. With the NFC West being so competitive, Arizona will need every weapon they have to stay alive. Moore has been among the most successful rookies thus far. Make sure to get him on your team. All right, Steve. Steve got involved. Last week, Steve threw down a couple, but it was too late. I had already recorded the episode. But Steve Spack is our, I don't know what you want to call him, our social media guy. He typically helps us out with the social media type stuff, getting the word out about the show, advertising, marketing, that sort of stuff. But he chimed in on this one to try to get some names out there for the waiver wire for you guys. He's got down Kenneth Gainwell for one. He says, for those of you in the back, I can't pound the table hard enough for Kenneth Gainwell. He's 29% owned. He clearly has a solid evolving role in this offense, and they want him involved as the number two RB in Philly. He brings PPR flex appeal during your bye weeks and will be the lead if something happens to Sanders. Get Gainwell now. 11 total touches, 6 targets, 75 total yards, and a touchdown with a 2-point conversion. That's 19.5 PPR points over the first 2 weeks. He's the number 3 RB in PPR right now. The other one he put down was Christian Kirk. Christian Kirk was on last week's episode as well. So, again, he's trying to get in on some of that for this week. He says 25.4% owned is a trusted target for Kyler Murray that is battling for targets. However, he can provide a weekly wide receiver 3 with upside performances. Bye weeks are coming, so be sure that you roster players that will consistently get touches. 9 targets, 8 receptions, 2 touchdowns in week 1, 135 yards, 33.5 PPR points over 2. PPR points over 2 the first 2 weeks. Okay, I think that was a typo. Number 22 wide receiver PPR. Okay, so Christian Kirk. So, guys, we were just talking about how trusted of a target Rondale Moore was, right? Now we're saying how trusted of a target Christian Kirk is. If you are a starting wide receiver in that offense, Kyler Murray is going to trust you evidently because he is distributing the ball out very evenly to everybody. And that's great news for all of them because the defense doesn't know who to stop. That means they probably can't stop all of them, if any of them, at this rate. Okay, KJ Osborne again. So, Rich, we already talked. I already talked about that one. Cordarrelle Patterson. We talked about. He said though he wants to add for Cordarrelle Patterson. He looked good in the running back by committee, involved in the rushing and the receiving. Roll five for he was 5 for 58 yards and a touchdown. And also something I didn't mention, you guys might want to consider this too. I don't know if there's any formats out there still that do this, but since he was a wide receiver for so long, maybe you get that ability to start him at wide receiver or running back. I'm not really sure. It just kind of depends on the format. Make sure you double check on that. All right, Joe. Here we go, Joey. Let's see if I can do this without messing up a whole lot. But Joe's bold prediction for Daniel Jones. Remember, he chose Daniel Jones last week, and Daniel Jones had a top five quarterback finish for you before that display from Aaron Rodgers. So at least top six. But he says that Daniel Jones will crack the top 12 for fantasy scores for quarterbacks by the year's end. He says, but then let me explain because your eyes are probably just popped out of your head. He's not a quarterback one in 12-man leagues yet, and I'm not advertising to drop a proven top 12 quarterback if you have one, but he's at least currently very good for a quarterback in the Superflex. Two, in a non-Superflex league, if your current quarterback is one that's just okay but leaves you wanting more, put DJ on your bench if you have the spot. he means Daniel Jones, and feel free to alternate between the two depending on the matchups. ESPN shows him as currently being on 10.7% of rosters. It's only two games, but Daniel Jones has averaged 250 plus yards passing and 60 yards rushing per game. That's an average of 300 plus yards per game. He also has one passing and one rushing touchdown per game and should have one more of each in the Washington football team game, but for his teammates' penalties and drops. But okay, so his teammates had some penalties and drops that kept that away from him. He is on pace for 34 total touchdowns, and if you think he can't keep that up, well, he was also projected to do that over the course of the season 2 years ago in his rookie year as well. But it got drowned out by his fumbling issues. Speaking of which, since game 9 of last season, Daniel Jones has one interception and three lost fumbles. That's only four giveaways over the past 10 games. Also, two of his primary weapons, Barkley and Galladay, didn't play in the preseason and I believe are starting to only now get their sea legs under them. All right, Joe, I tell you what, that would have made a hell of a bathroom break episode. Next time, give me about two or three sentences that you really want me to drive home for the waiver wire, and then you do a bathroom break episode. You would have been able to read that off a lot better than I would have. But very well said, very well thought out, and a lot of praise for Daniel Jones, who's obviously the quarterback of your team. Then you also gave a little love to the quarterback of Rich's team, Derek Carr. Derek Carr is off to a good start, and the team is 2-0 against some of the very toughest opponents out there, Ravens and Steelers. 2 weeks is a small sample size, but Carr put up 24 fantasy points based on ESPN scoring. In each of those games, that's some consistency. So 24 points in each game is some consistency. And there aren't too many harder defenses to go against than Baltimore and Pittsburgh, which is also a very fair point. The Raiders' O-line seems to be giving him protection. ESPN is currently showing him as being only 16.8% of rosters. Then Joe also wanted to talk about Cordarrelle Patterson here, the running back potential here. He says ESPN has him as being on 8% of rosters. I picked him up after week one in some leagues where I was running back needy. I wish you would have mentioned that to me, Joe, because I could have used him and I waited too long and now I'm hurting. He's proving to be a weapon, a potential good handcuff in Atlanta. and has averaged 16 points per game, scoring touchdowns on the ground and in the air. Ben also talked about Rondell Moore here, 19.3% owned. Moore is just showing that he is a stud equal to the first round guys. Even if he doesn't lock down that wide receiver two role, he will be on the field heaps, on track for 88 catches and 1,400 yards. And guys, to be honest with you, Rondell Moore, the way he played, he kind of reminded me of a Deebo Samuels light from his rookie season. So very gritty, very every time you thought he was going to run out of bounds, he'd pop it back into the middle of the field and then pop out of bounds. I kept thinking, man, this rookie's making a mistake. They need to stop the clock in this situation, or he needs to get out of bounds. But nah, he just hop in, get an extra 8 or 10 yards, and then hop back out. So obviously proving that I am no good armchair quarterback coach, that's for sure. Ben also put down Tony Pollard here, 38.6% on ESPN. Flex worthy, even with Zeke, will be a stud if Zeke goes down. And Ben, it looks like you snuck those in there just as I started recording. So good timing, my friend. All right, so I think that's all we have for you for the waiver wire episode for this week. We got some good names out there. We had some great names out there from last week. Again, this is all for the Patreon, patreon.com/toiletsandtitles. We greatly appreciate your support, and feel free to chime in to us each week in the Patreon chat on the Discord if you have any guys that you want me to add to the waiver wire list for the waiver wire show, and we'll put your name out there as well. That's all I got for you. Good luck in week 3, and we will see you next